Lucy's Last Straw by Debbie Vigiano and read by Ailey Beaton for Saga Egmont. Chapter 1.
You know it makes sense, Lucy.
I stared at my husband in horror. For the last few minutes, Leo had been talking non-stop about a tiny tumble-down cottage for sale in the next village, and he wanted us to move into it. You're joking, I scoffed.
Am I laughing?
Leo countered.
The kids have left home, and we have 3 empty bedrooms collecting dust. We're rattling around this place like dried up peas in a drum.
I like rattling, I said defiantly, and less of the dried up reference. Leo had hit a nerve. At 49, I was on the verge of a half-century crisis. As much as I tried embracing yet another grey hair and telling myself that silver was still sexy, my heart wasn't in it. Inside, I was still 18, girly and giggly. But unlike those days, a missed period didn't send me running to the pharmacy to buy a pregnancy test kit. Oh no! These days, a blip in the menstrual cycle was my body's way of reminding me that it was going through some very different hormonal changes. The menopause was hurtling towards me faster than the local high-speed train at Epsfleet International. Leo folded his arms across his chest, a defensive gesture. He was still a good-looking guy, a 52-year-old version of Robert Redford. Everyone flirted with Leo. Patsy, my next-door neighbour, was forever fluttering her eyelashes at my husband. He's such a hunk, Lucy, she was always saying. You're so lucky to sleep every night with Leo by your side. If we were sharing a bed, I'd be worn out. Oh? I raised an eyebrow quizzically. Because no sleeping would ever get done, darling. She'd grinned. Patsy was a dead ringer for Dorian from Birds of a Feather, a man-eater with a penchant for red lipstick, leopard-print handbags, and transparent blouses showcasing various black lace bras. She devours men like Leo for breakfast, and lunch, and dinner.
Are you even listening to me, Lucy?
Leo asked, annoyance flashing across his still handsome features. I don't want to move, I said, abruptly standing up from the kitchen table where we'd been having Sunday lunch together. Heaven knows why I'd cooked a roast in weather like this. A salad would have been far more appropriate for July's heatwave. I began clearing away the plates from the table and moved over to the kitchen sink, distancing myself from both my husband and the conversation. I didn't want to leave the house where our 3 children had been conceived and subsequently raised. It had memories etched into every room. Even the built-in wardrobes in the kids' bedroom still sported the faded marks of a black, indelible pen. Jessica, age 9, 139 centimetres. Amy, age 7, 119 centimetres. Daniel, age 5. 101 centimetres. Out of my peripheral vision, I saw Leo visibly huff and recross his arms. He was definitely on the defensive. If I hadn't been busy clearing up, I'd have resorted to some vigorous arm-crossing myself. Instead, I pursed my lips and ignored my husband. How could he be prepared to walk away from our family home so easily? If we moved into the ridiculously tiny dwelling he was talking about, then much of our furniture would have to be discarded too. There would be no room for the huge, solid pine kitchen table, the wood of which still bore white rings from happy hours of painting we'd done with the kids, the jam jars full of dirty coloured liquid and stained brushes. Every time I looked at those marks, I didn't see water spoilage. Instead, I saw my 3 kids, younger, smaller, at a time when Leo and I...